You know what sounds beautiful? Minnesota. You know what else is beautiful? Knowing that the lottery has generated billions of dollars for our state. Money that has gone to help protect wildlife and habitat and improve our air and water quality. At the Minnesota Lottery, we're playing our part. You can too. Just say, I'm in.
Hi, everybody. Ron Chera here with another edition of a Minnesota-bound podcast. Give a shout-out to the Minnesota Lottery sponsor and Oreo and Ritz Crackers. We welcome them to the network. Minnesota DNR, Star Bank, Connecticut, Minnesota Propane, and Realtor Heather Womack. All right, well, let's get started talking turkey. Here's where it began. It was an April morning in 1967 in the Black Hills of South Dakota. I was working for the South Dakota Game and Fish Department as editor of their magazine. And the turkey and deer biologist by the name of Art Richardson invited me out in April in the Black Hills to introduce me to my first wild turkey. I took him up on it, not knowing what to expect. We were hunting near Custer, South Dakota, very famous name and a famous spot, and not very far from Mount Rushmore. And we were on a back road west of Custer. We stopped by a hillside full of ponderosa pine, and Art said, I'm going to go up this little draw. He says, you go up to the saddle, get way to the top, and just wait up there. He said, I'm going to go and do some calling from the other end of the ridge. So I did, and I'm sitting there by myself, and I think I can hear Art calling a little bit, and I think I heard my first gobble. It was quite a ways away, but got my attention. And I'm just sitting there again because Art said he would come get me when it was time to go back to the truck. When suddenly, before me, single file, here comes some turkeys. First ones I've ever seen. Well, you can only shoot the gobblers. Well, my problem was, which one's the gobbler? So here they come, single file. Well, that doesn't look gobblerish. It's got kind of a dull head. And so the second one, same. Third one, the same. Fourth one, the same. So I'm kind of looking, not moving much, got my gun ready. But finally, at the very end, here comes a bigger bird, a little blacker, a little more red in the head. So I says to myself, that's got to be the gobbler. So I take careful aim, pull the trigger, boom. Down it goes. So I walk over there. I'm very excited. But then I couldn't find a beard. Oh my. I'm an employee of the South Dakota Game and Fish Department. Did I shoot illegally a hen turkey? I didn't know. I couldn't find the beard. No spurs either. The head looked, like I said, red. So I left it there, and I walked down the hill back to the truck, and Art came up. He says, did you get him? I heard you shoot. I go, well, I don't know, Art. I don't know if I shot a hen or a gobbler. He says, well, let's go up and look. So up the hill we went, and much to my relief, Art says, that's a gobbler. You got a gobbler. I said, well, there's no beard. He said, well, it's a Jake, real young Jake. They don't have much of a beard. But then he kind of reached through the feathers, and there was a beard there, about 1 inch long. And, of course, no spurs, which a lot of Jakes, they don't have spurs. They're like teenagers. But so I got my first turkey the very first time I ever went after him. And let me tell you, from then on, I was hooked, absolutely hooked. I went back, let me back up here. Just a year and a half, I got a call from the Minneapolis Tribune. They were looking for an outdoor writer, and I took that job. I hated to leave South Dakota, but it was clearly a job and salary also much better. So But I never quit going back to the Black Hills. One year I took Bud Grant with me and had Art guide him. I went by myself because I was getting pretty good by now. I called a turkey in and got one. And Bud Grant, who likes not to be defeated, he didn't get a turkey. And but he's he was a good sport about it. But I think he kind of you know, his teeth ground a little bit when I knew when I told him I had one. Anyway, so for 50 years, I would make an April visit to the Black Hills, possessed by wild turkeys. And let me tell you this. The bird changed my life in some ways. They're very addictive to be with in the spring. And if you hunt them long enough and do it fair and square without a rifle, for example, you learn to really admire that bird. It is designed for survival. Eyes on each side of its head and a slight twist of its head, it can basically see 360 degrees. It roosts in trees at night, so it's away from all ground predators like coyotes and fox, etc. The only disadvantage for their tree roosting is owls get them once in a while. And you say, oh, how could an owl get a big old giant gobbler? Well, I witnessed it one time. The owl sails in the middle of the night and with its talons clenched and flying at who knows how fast and collides with that gobbler, knocks him off the branch. The gobbler falls to the ground confused by what's going on in the dark, and the owl pounces and starts ripping. And it might be a slow death, but the owl don't care. But anyways, as I'm saying, the turkey changed my life. As I went back to the Black Hills, I'd come back to Minnesota, and I'd write about it in the Tribune, because Minnesota didn't have turkey hunting. Minnesota didn't really have turkeys, maybe a few in the southeast part of the state, but there was no season. DNR was having trouble getting them started. They got some birds from Nebraska that were, they found out later, were captured in a barn. They were half domestic, didn't work. And then they finally got some birds from Missouri, wild ones that they traded rough grouse for. But in the interim, I would write about it in the paper, and there was a guy in South Dakota who subscribed to the paper, and he loved turkey hunting too, so he was reading my diatribes, and so he called me and wrote me one day and said, invited me to go hunting with him. He had some property right near Piedmont, South Dakota. So I did, cautiously, the next year. I say cautiously because I didn't want anybody ruining my turkey hunting. I knew where to go myself already in the Black Hills, and this is a guy I never met, and who knows what kind of a turkey hunter he is. I mean, you know, I was pretty protective of my turkey hunting and how I was going to hunt and blah, blah, blah. But I met him. His name was John Hauer. And about the first 15 minutes I was with him, he took me out on a ridge and asked me to do some calling. His calling was pretty crude. So I started calling, and lo and behold, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I get a gobble. I go, oh, my Lord, I'm in heaven here. I step out of my truck and make a couple of calls, and I get a gobble, an answer. And so we hunkered and went towards the call, and my buddy Max was with me, and we were hiding behind a couple of trees, and in comes this gobbler. And John and I both said, take him. I was going to have Maxie take him. Maxie raised up with his shotgun, and I got ready to back him up. The bird saw us, took off flying. Max missed him twice, and then by then he was way out. I missed too. So we didn't get that bird. And but John and I developed a friendship right after that, and he and I hunted together for years. We got so we thought we were pretty good. So I started asking some Minnesota friends, you should try this turkey hunting. So enough of them volunteered. They started coming out. John and I would guide them. Well, then the next year, he wanted to bring, the Minnesota guy wanted to bring more of his friends. And well, now we can't guide everybody. So then we found a few Black Hills residents that we knew. We got them to guide us. Well, now what are we going to do? We can't, there's gasoline, everything else. We need to charge for this a little bit. What about where they're going to stay and meals? And well, to make a long story short, we rented a place that had rooms, kitchen, and we started a turkey hunting camp. This was in back in about 1975, and it's called Turkey Track Club, and it's still going today, by the way, Turkey Track Club in the Black Hills of South Dakota. But that meant also, for years, every April, I was out there, sometimes for 2-3 weeks. I'm surprised I'm still married. So now I have a bunch of Minnesota guys coming out to the camp and then going back to Minnesota and saying, gee, I wish we could hunt them in Minnesota. So I went to the Minnesota DNR and I said, you guys got to do more to get the turkeys going here in Minnesota. And, the wildlife chief, Roger Holmes was his name, said, you know, if you guys want more turkeys, you have to do it yourself. I don't have any money in the budget to start working on turkeys. So if you want them, you better raise the money yourself. Well, we did. I formed the very first Minnesota National Wild Turkey Federation chapter. We held a banquet in Wayzata. We had several hundred people there. We raised like $10,000, $11,000, $12,000, and we gave it all to DNR's trapping program, where they trapped wild birds and moved them around. So that was another beginning, another addiction to me with turkeys. So I'll continue my turkey hunting stories right after this. Another reminder to thank our newest sponsor, Oreo and Ritz crackers. You gotta love them.
Today is a day for adventure. Cub has all the Nabisco snacks you need to make sure adventure is delicious from start to finish. Life just tastes sweeter when you share Oreo cookies on the trail, when you crunch Ritz crackers at the campsite, or rock the boat with Ritz cheese crispers. Stop a Cub on the way to your adventure. The great outdoors is calling. Don't forget your snacks.
Also, a favorite sponsor of mine, Kinetico. You know, it's very easy for me to talk about Kinetico. Kinetico water system has been in my house for a couple of decades. I was introduced to it just like a lot of you who needed to do something, because the water where I live was full of iron. It stained everything. It stunk like you know what. And so desperate for some help. We stumbled into the Kinetico folks, and they put a system in our house. It's high-tech technology, takes no electricity, very little salt. But what really mattered is the stain disappeared in our water. Suddenly the sinks and toilets, etc., no more iron stain. So that's why I can tell you, if you haven't looked at Kinetico, do yourself a favor. Check it out. Thank you, Kinetico. All right, we're going to go back to some more turkey tales here. As I was saying, we now had the first Minnesota National Wild Turkey Federation chapter, and we started raising money for the live trap and transplant program to fund that for DNR. And then as the turkey fever spread, a couple more chapters developed in Caledonia and Winona, and the next thing you know, more and more people are discovering the wild turkey. I think the very first turkey season, like in 1978, something like that, only 400 people got to participate. This past year, it was like 60,000 got to participate. So, and little did they know, they do now, but little did they know, when they decided to try turkey hunting. Let's try this turkey hunting. We don't know what we're doing, but let's try it anyway. You get hooked. You become addicted. And that's why I say the turkey changed my life, because I'm still infatuated. And here's why. I wish I'd have brought some calls with me. I did not. But, you know, I'll just tell you point blank. I'm a lousy duck caller. I'm a musician, but for some reason I can't talk to ducks or geese. But I can talk to turkeys. And how you learn to do that is you listen to the real turkey, either in the woods or in recordings, and you listen to the hen primarily. The hen rules the roost, so to speak. And it's the springtime. And for the turkeys, what they're trying to do is they talk back and forth because it's the mating season. The gobblers gobble to get the attention of hens. And the way the turkeys have it figured out, when he gobbles and she answers, he waits for her to come in to him. He's strutting. He's looking beautiful because he's the big dude, and he wants to impress her. You can see the same thing in a Minneapolis bar on a Friday night. But anyway, so you learn to talk the hen talk is what you need to do. And some people will say, don't call too often. Well, sometimes that might be the case, but other times you could hear the real hen. She'll yuck, yuck, cluck, 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 cluck. She'll go on for 30 seconds. Well, if she can do it, I can do it. And if you have a hen get mad at you, which I often try to do, because they have a pecking order, and often the dominant hen in a flock will answer you, and you can almost tell she's a little PO'd. She's like, what are you doing over there, you hen? You're trying to be the top hen here? I'm the top hen. Well, then she gets into argument with you, and she chirps and clucks at you, and then you have to answer the same thing to her. And finally, she's going to maybe, not always, she'll come over to see who you are, and I'm going to beat you up. And when she does, sometimes the old Tom, he's going to come with her because that's one girlfriend. He doesn't want to lose her, and there might be another girlfriend he can entertain at some point. This is an X-rated sport, by the way. But remember what I said. The turkeys have it figured out. The hen's supposed to come to the Tom. So that's the challenge for a turkey hunter, to make it enticing enough to fool him into coming to you. If he has hens with him, that's almost impossible, just to tell you. So you might gobble a lot. You say, oh, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. But then you never see him. And finally, the next gobble, he's a little farther away. Well, what happens? The hen that he was with, or hens, they don't want to mess with another hen and have a little squabble. They'll lead him away, and he'll follow. So the key, of course, is finding a lone gobbler who is very, very lonely. And so now when he hears you, this lovely hen chirping in the woods, offering for a little hanky-panky, he's all over that. He might come running, or he might come flying. I've had him fly in. I've had him run in. I've also had him, like I said, totally ignore me. As far as the calls I use, the type of calls, I learned early on to use the diaphragm call in my mouth, but now as time goes by, that does a lot of things, a diaphragm call. Some people can't master it. Some people gag on it, whatever. No problem. There's two calls you really need to have, and that's a good box call and a good slate call. Glass slate or slate, learn to use those too. Now, the only issue I have with today's retailers is they put all the box calls in plastic packaging that you can't even get into with a hatchet. I hate that because no two box calls are alike. I want to play it. I want to hear it so that it has that nice high-pitched young hen sound that I'm looking for. And same with the peg slates. And they take a little practice, but they're a lot easier to use than the diaphragm call. So those are the only really two calls, tools I use. I have a gobbler call that sounds like a gobbler, kind of. Can't say as I've had a lot of luck with it. I was using it one morning, sounding, you know, gobble, 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 trying to maybe get some gobbler to answer that because I wasn't getting any answers with the hen. And I'd do that for a little bit. It was a beautiful April sunny morning. I was sunning myself against a big old tree, had my mask up. And I sensed something walking beside me. It was a it was a black bear. I go, oh. He wasn't coming to my gobbler call. He just happened to be walking by. And I never was not expecting that. He walked by me about 10, 15 yards and stopped and turned around and looked back toward me. I go, don't do this. I have my shotgun, but I don't want to shoot no bear. I don't want this encounter. And he raised his nose and waved it back and forth like, what in hell do I smell? Well, it was me. And after he was convinced that was a human being, he was smelling pretty damn close, he wheeled, whirled around and took off like a racehorse. So I was glad to see him go. Another time I was sitting on a hillside in a brush pile. I like to get in brush piles. You can hide there easily. And so I'm sitting in a brush pile. I was calling, and down the hill from the other side of the valley comes two coyotes. They heard this hen, and they were looking for me. And coyotes are, if they can eat a hen turkey, they'd be happy to eat a hen turkey. They'll eat anything. Well, they come running up there, and they were looking for this hen. Now they're about 15 yards from me, just standing there looking. Now the female, she was the smaller one, she was a little confused, so she kind of went downwind from me, and she got my scent, and she just took off. Well, the big old boy, he didn't do that. He's still looking down the hill, still waiting, wondering, where in the heck is this hen at? And so I started to tease him by just slight, soft chirps, which really baffled him, like, I can hear it, but where in the hell are you? Whatever. He was so intent on looking for this hen that he sat down 8 yards away from me with his back to me. I could have tickled him in the ear. And then finally he got up and he was looking around. And so I says, in a human voice, I said, hey, you better get the hell out of here or you're going to get in trouble. Clearly, he had never heard a human voice because he didn't know how to react to that either. He just kind of, what was that, you know? So finally, I just started to stand up, get out of the brush pile. And when he saw that, I think he's still running. He's still running. So that's just a couple of things that happened to you with turkey hunting. I've had coyotes stalk me before. See all kinds of other critters. A few deer ticks. You don't want them. But the turkey takes you to sunrises. Great sounds in the woods. I've hunted turkeys in Florida, Mississippi, Georgia, Iowa, Wisconsin, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, and Hawaii. Did you know turkeys are in Hawaii? A lot of people don't. Turkeys, there are turkey hunting seasons in 49 of the 50 states. And the only one that's missing, I'll give you that answer right after this. We want to thank our sponsors, Minnesota Propane.
Hey, I'm Laura Shera, and did you know, according to the Environmental Protection Agency Energy Star program, that propane is almost 3 times more efficient than grid electricity? We all care about our planet, so let's use energy efficiently to reduce our environmental footprint. You can heat your homes, your water, your cabins, your businesses with propane. The right energy right now. Propane, clean American energy. For more information, go to propane.com.
Also, Realtor Heather Womack.
Hi, Minnesota Bound podcast listeners. I'm Realtor Heather Womack. I grew up in Minnesota and love all the outdoor activities we have here. In fact, I love Minnesota so much that I moved back here from Europe to raise my family in the land of beautiful hikes, refreshing clear lakes, and winter fun. That's why I'm reaching out to the listeners of the Minnesota Bound podcast. As a realtor, I've helped hundreds of folks buy their first home, sell the home they have, purchase a lake cabin, or start investing in Minnesota real estate. If you love adventure but need some new scenery, call me. My website is heatherwomackrealty.com. That's Heather Womack, W-O-M-A-C-K, realty.com.
And the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources.
I just want to thank the Minnesota DNR. And as we know, Minnesota's Wildlife Management Area
are a vast array of lands across all of Minnesota, and there are approximately 1,400 wildlife management areas that are valued for wildlife in Minnesota's outdoor recreation opportunities. So speaking of recreation, to find out more about Minnesota's wildlife management areas, you can go to mndnr.gov/WMAS.
Well, welcome back again to this edition of the Minnesota Bound Podcast. Ron Scherer here with you. We're talking turkey. And as I was saying, there are turkey seasons now in 49 of the 50 states. Which state does not have a turkey season? Well, if you said Hawaii, you're wrong. If you said California, you're wrong. If you said New Jersey, you're wrong. If you said Maine, you're wrong. If you said Alaska, you're right. No turkey season in Alaska, perhaps very few birds there for obvious reasons. So let me finish with this thought about, in Minnesota, there's still some debate whether they were ever native or not. Personally, I think they were. I have some diaries from great-great relatives of mine who lived just not very far from Rochester, Minnesota, but in Iowa, who wrote about the men going out to hunt deer and turkeys. So they were at least that close. But it doesn't matter now. Today, Minnesota has all kinds of turkeys. As far north as even Marshall, Minnesota, I mean, it's amazing how these birds have survived and spread on their own, as well as help from hunters and DNR. And so when you look at it from that standpoint, the wild turkey represents one of Minnesota's greatest conservation stories, a great conservation comeback story, and we should be proud of that. You know, sometimes we get the idea that the world's going to hell, including Minnesota, water issues, invasive species in our lakes. This is going away. This is disappearing. We got CWD in our deer, and you know, you can sometimes think that the world is ending or about to end or should end, and nothing's going right. But that's not true. And the wild turkey is a good example of that. These are the good old days of wild turkeys in Minnesota, and we shouldn't forget that. Plus, one more thing before I close here. The bird is excellent eating. The turkey that you have on your Thanksgiving dinner originally was a wild turkey, and they became domesticated. And so the wild one tastes just as good, but it's because it's wild, it's not as fat, and its meat can be dry if you cook it incorrectly. But other than that, they're wonderful eating. And you say, how did they get the name turkey? This is interesting. I wasn't aware of that. When the early explorers came to North America, they captured some wild turkeys and took them back to Europe, and where they domesticated them. But for some reason, it was mistakenly believed that those birds did not come from North America, that they came from the country of Turkey. Hence, they just called them turkeys. Well, we know now that it wasn't the case. It's a nice name, though, turkey. But they came from North America. Turkeys were only native in the whole world in North America, nowhere else. And so we're left with the joys of having now Minnesota filled with wild turkeys, a wonderful game bird, beautiful to look at, awesome to hear, awesome to eat, and addictive to hunt. So with that, I'm going to say good hunting to you. Thank you again, and give Minnesota Lottery and Oreo Rich a nice thank you for being a part of our Minnesota Bound Network, Connecticut, Minnesota DNR, Minnesota Propane, Realtor Heather Womack, and Star Bank, my favorite bank, also helped produce this podcast. See you later. Ron Scherer signing out. If you're putting your money into mega banks down the street, who knows where that money's being used? Bank locally. Keep your money local with a community bank that actually cares about you, your family, your business, and your goals. Check out the bank we use at Minnesota Bound. Try Minnesota's own Star Bank. You can find them online at starbank.net. When you call Star Bank, you actually hear a real living person answering the phone.
Star Bank has 10 convenient locations around Minnesota to serve you and all the mobile banking products that you need to manage your money. Check out all that Star Bank has to offer at starbank.net.